Welcome to The Joy of Motherhood. This is a podcast that's aimed at the heart of women who love being a mom. Or maybe it's for those of you who wish you were a mom. You're just aching to be a mom, but it hasn't happened to you yet. This is a podcast that's going to be for those of you who are empty nesters. You wish you could do it all over again, and your heart is still turning toward that singular occupation and calling known as motherhood. This is a podcast for those of you who are in the trenches of motherhood. Your daily life is about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, about potty training, about driver's permits. It seems like you are mired every day in the sludge of what being a mom is all about. Well, welcome today to this podcast called The Joy of Motherhood. My name is Carol McLeod, and it's my delight every week to join you as we talk about the highs and the lows, the challenges, the frustrations, and the delights of motherhood. You know, you'll find if you join me for this weekly podcast that sometimes the podcast is chiefly inspiration. Sometimes it's painfully practical. Sometimes it's devotional. Sometimes it's psychological. And sometimes I do interviews with other women. But I can tell you this, regardless of what subject we're covering, there's good encouragement in it for those of you who are in the trenches of motherhood. So thank you for joining me today. Today, we're going to finish our series in looking at pregnant women in the Bible. How fun has that been to extract life lessons from these women who were pregnant or who were longing to be pregnant, to look at their lives not only as women, but also as mothers and discover what truth we can find in each of their stories. And as I said, today we're going to finish that look that's taken us, about 3 or 4 weeks to do. And then after that, the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be interviewing one of my favorite people in the world. So you'll want to join me for those interviews. But as always, I like to tell you a little bit about the ministry, a little bit about what's going on in my life and the things that are happening. And I am an author. I have written 9 books. My 9th book came out this spring, the spring of 2018. And I thought I'd spend just a minute and talk to you about that book, because let me tell you, this book is a must read for moms. It's called Guide Your Mind, Guard Your Heart, Grace Your Tongue. You know, the chief way we parent is through our tongues. Isn't that the truth? And there is not one of us who wouldn't love to take back words that we've spoken in anger or in frustration to our children. Even today, years removed from hands-on parenting, I can tell you phrases or words that I wish I never would have said. But mom, your tongue is really not your problem. Your problem is the thoughts that you think and the emotions that you embrace. Because before anything comes out of your mouth, it first starts in your mind, and then it travels to your heart before it comes back out your mouth. So, this book, Guide Your Mind, Guard Your Heart, Grace Your Tongue, holds great challenge and coaching for mothers so that the words that we speak are loving, kind, and are also disciplined. You can get it wherever books are sold. You can get it at my website or at Amazon, Books a Million. But I'd love for you to take a look at that book, because I can tell you, it will help you be the mom you've always wanted to be. And now, our question for today. As you know, I always like to answer the question of a mom who's dealing with a challenging issue in her home. And this mom who has written to me, this young mom named Katie, has said, Carol, I can't get my kids to eat anything. How can I get my kids to eat a well-balanced diet? Okay, well, that's a great question. And I have some ideas for you. I'm not sure you'll take all my ideas, but this is how I would coach you as an older mom to get control of your child's eating habits. First of all, if they don't eat what's served to them at a meal, they don't get any snacks. They certainly don't get any treats or dessert. And mom, you've got to be disciplined enough to make sure that you enact this. If your child has not had their eggs and their banana and their peanut butter toast for breakfast, then they can't have a cookie mid-morning. They can't have cheese crackers mid-morning. A child has to eat nearly all of, most of, what's put in front of them at any given meal. And sometimes I think it's good to give a child a choice. That helps a little bit. To say, okay, for breakfast this morning, would you rather have oatmeal or scrambled eggs? Both healthy choices, but you're giving them the choice. And for every meal, serve a healthy assortment of foods. You know, perhaps you're serving green beans and broccoli for dinner. Well, they don't have to have both, but they've got to have one. So if they don't eat their meal, if they don't eat the healthy meal that you've provided, there will be no in-between meal snacks. And you know what? If they're not eating healthy, remove all the junk food from your home. Get rid of the Oreos and the chips. Don't even buy them. And only provide healthy or alternatives for snacks. Apples, oranges, bananas, grapes, little pieces of cheese cut up. It's so important that we train our children to eat healthily. Don't you agree? You know, for years in my life, I've dealt with unhealthy eating habits. And I've always thought if this could have started in the home, it would have helped me so much. Now, there are days when your kids get treats. If your kids have had a good day of eating, certainly they would get a treat that night. Certainly they would. Another thing that I think really helps is don't let them drink a lot of things other than water between meals. If they fill up on milk or Gatorade or juice or whatever it is you serve, their little tummies are going to be full and they're not going to want to eat a full meal that night. Another thing is don't expect a four-year-old to eat a cup and a half of vegetables, okay? If your four-year-old eats about a third of a cup of vegetables at a serving, that's plenty. Don't expect them to eat an adult portion of something healthy. So those are my suggestions for you, Katie. I hope they help. Bless you as you get your kids to eat in a healthy manner. It's one of the most important things you can do as a mom. Thanks for asking such a great question. And now let's dig into the meat of our podcast today. Going to be looking at two moms in the Bible. They're actually women who are finding out they're pregnant for the very first time. And we're going to look at their stories and draw some truth from what we read about them in the Word of God. So you don't have to have your Bible. I'll read you the verses out loud. But if you do have your Bible, if you're in the habit of taking notes, jotting down some little suggestions, I'm going to start in Luke chapter 1. We're going to talk about Elizabeth, this older woman who became a mother in the latter years of her life. Now, don't turn me off just because we're going to be looking at the Bible today. There is truth. There is juice for you as a mom in both of these Bible stories. Luke chapter 1 verse 6 says this about the elderly Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Zechariah were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. Wow, what a beautiful way to be described in the Bible. That Elizabeth and her elderly husband, Zacharias, were righteous in the sight of God. Oh my goodness, what a challenge that is for me as a woman and as a mother and as a grandmother. It says that they walked blamelessly in all the commandments and in all the requirements of the Lord. I can tell you right now, I don't hit the same level on that measuring stick of God as Elizabeth and Zacharias did. But this is what it does. It challenges me as a woman. to live a righteous life. And I want to tell you, no matter how you've walked in the past, today, for today, choose righteousness. Snuggle your life up under the principles found in the Word of God, and you will be the better for it. Your family will be the better for it. Choose one area of your life and say, I'm going to work on that area. If you have a real problem with profanity or with cursing, say that's my area. I'm going to work on that. If you have a real problem with overspending or overbuying, I'm going to work on that. If you have a problem with over emoting, being too expressive, say that's my area. I'm going to work on that. But let the life of Elizabeth, don't let it intimidate you, but let it give you a healthy challenge to live as a woman the way God wants you to live. You know, there's a blessing for people who choose to live righteously. Oh, yes, there is. My friend, mom, listen, there is a blessing for women who choose to live a righteous life. James 5:16 tells us part of this blessing. The prayer of the righteous avails much. One translation says the prayer of the righteous gets the job done. You know, I believe there must be something in God's heart that responds to a person who's living to honor Him. He can trust you with blessings. He can trust you with authority. He can trust you by giving you the things in life that your heart so desires. So part of the blessing of living a righteous life, of responding to the challenge of Elizabeth's life, is that your prayers are going to get the job done. God is going to hear you. Another blessing of living a righteous life is found in Proverbs 10:30. The righteous will never be shaken. You know, when you choose to live a life that honors God, there's something about it that causes you to be a stronger and more stable woman. The little things in life will no longer shake you, and your husband and your children will thank you for it. You know, although Elizabeth and Zacharias had no children, they were not shaken. They were not shaken by their circumstances or by their disappointments. And that's a big thing for us as moms, isn't it? So often in life, our disappointments shake us. They uproot us. But Proverbs 10:30 says the righteous will never be shaken. So get your life in sync with the principles found in the Word of God. And I'm telling you right now, not only are you going to like yourself better, but so will your family. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4 says, the righteous live by faith. And this was true of Elizabeth and Zacharias, and yet still they had an empty nursery. Listen, I don't know what you're praying for today. You might be praying for a baby or a raise or a new home or a vacation or a family car. But I want to tell you this, righteous people know how to live by faith and not by sight. When we get our lives under the principles found in the Word of God, it's going to give us a power that we have never had before. Let's keep reading about Elizabeth in chapter 7, Luke 1:7. But Elizabeth and Zacharias had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. So this is the sad part of Elizabeth's story. Although she was a righteous woman, although she lived by faith, she didn't have a baby. She was old. She was advanced in years. And yet still, no baby had been given to her. Her womb was not open. Now, let me tell you what the word Elizabeth means. It means God is my oath. It means God has promised. And so Elizabeth believed. She believed. You know, several years ago, my oldest son, Matt, and his wife were pregnant with their fourth child. They knew it was going to be a little girl. And the Lord had spoken to Matt and said, I want you to name her something that has to do with the promises of God. And so Matt called me and said, Mom, what name has to do with the promises of God in the Bible? And I said, Elizabeth does. The name Elizabeth means God is my oath. It means the God who promises always is faithful. And so that fourth child that Matt and Emily had, her name is Elizabeth Joy. My God has promised. Elizabeth believed. Are you believing while you're waiting for your miracle? Are you believing? Are you standing in faith while you're praying? Are you walking righteously while you're believing for your breakthrough? Now listen, my friend, listen, mom, listen to this. Don't be impatient with God. Trust Him. Keep living a righteous life. Keep praying fervently. Keep good heart attitudes. Be stable with your emotions while you're waiting. You see, Elizabeth wasn't ruled by her circumstances, but she was governed by her desire to please God. And that's the woman I want to be. What about you? Well, as you know, Zacharias was a priest, and it happened one year when it was his turn to go into the temple to give the sacrifices to God. And Zacharias was visited by an angel. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said to Zacharias, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." Are you kidding me? Zacharias is at church. He's in the temple when an angel comes to him and says, "Zacharias, your prayers have been answered. God heard your prayers. Your wife, even though she's elderly, she's going to have a baby." Oh, sister, this encourages me so much. It tells me it pays to keep on praying, to never throw in the towel on my prayer life. I don't know what you've been praying for, but I want to tell you this. Don't give up. Don't ever give up in the prayer closet of your heart. Knock and keep on knocking. Keep asking God for your petition. God hears the prayers of righteous people. So keep standing in faith. Keep snuggling your life up to the principles of God and keep on praying. You know, I think about Elizabeth all those years. I wonder if she was making baby blankets in her teens and 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s while she prayed, "God, give me a child." I wonder if she was gathering hand-me-down diapers from her friends and then her friends' children and then her friends' grandchildren as the years went by. Elizabeth stood in faith. Her very identity meant the God who promised is faithful, and her prayers have been heard. And I want to tell you, my friend, today, God hears your prayers. So keep on praying. Keep standing in faith. What are you praying for? At this point in history, the people of God hadn't heard from God in 400 years. It might seem like you haven't heard from God in 400 years. You might have been praying so long and hard, but I want to tell you today, just like the angel said to Zacharias, God has heard your petition. My friend, God has heard your prayers. What are you praying for? An unsaved spouse? Rebellious children? For a job? For a breakthrough in finances? For health? Maybe you're praying for a baby. We serve a God who is faithful to His word. Luke chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. "And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, 'This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men.'" You know, at this time in history, it wasn't uncommon for pregnant women to go into seclusion when they started to show. It wasn't like today when pregnant women show their bare bellies on the front of magazines for the world to see. In these days, once you started to show, you went into seclusion and didn't come out again until after the baby was born. But this isn't what Elizabeth did. Elizabeth went into seclusion right away, from the get-go. Why did she do this? Well, I have an idea why she did it. I believe she did it because she was preparing her heart for God's plan. I believe she was preparing her heart for motherhood. I believe that she took time away to thank the Lord for what He did in her life. It was a time of great thanksgiving and wonder for Elizabeth as she looked at the tiny blankets and little gowns that had been part of her life for decades. I wonder if she prayed, "Lord, prepare me for what you're preparing for me." And isn't that a good prayer for moms? Lord, prepare my heart. Prepare me for what you're preparing for me. I wonder if tears were coursing down her wrinkled cheeks. I wonder if she sewed blankets with her liver-spotted hands, if she was crying out in thanksgiving to God, saying, "A miracle, a bona fide miracle." I believe that her heart was overflowing with gratitude. Elizabeth was wise, and we can glean from her wisdom, my friend. She changed her lifestyle in order to prepare herself for the plan of God. This was a time of worship and prayer for Elizabeth. So, if you want God to do something big, something new, something fresh in your heart, take some time away just to spend time with God in thanksgiving and wonder. Listen, all moms need time away. They need times to recharge their battery and to fill up their souls. When I was a young mom, about once a month, I would trade children with one of my other mom friends so that I would get a morning just to myself. About one Saturday every 6 months, my husband would take the kids for an entire day so I could just recharge with my Bible and with worship music and with good books and with devotions. Mom, do what Elizabeth did. Take some time away so that you can be the woman that God has prepared you to be. The second mom we're going to look at in the Word of God, maybe you've guessed, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're going to end this extraordinary look at pregnant women, mothers in the Bible, by looking at the mother who delivered our Savior. You know, we've learned something from each of these mothers. Do you remember what we've learned? From Eve, we learned that God can use what he didn't choose, that no matter what your past is, God can use you. From Sarah, we learned, don't take things into your own hands. Be patient. Nothing is impossible with God. From Hannah, we learned that to cry out to God at the worst moment of your life, to pray until you're hoarse, and God will hear your prayer. From Elizabeth, we learned to live righteously and to take some time away in preparation. Well, I'm going to tell you from the get-go what we're going to learn from Mary, and I'm going to repeat it all the way through. From Mary, we learn that there are no accidents, but there are surprises. You know, whenever a mom or a dad will refer to one of their children as an accident, I think, no, don't say that. There are no accidents. That baby might have been a surprise, but it wasn't an accident because there are no accidents to God the Father. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 34 tells us this about the very young Mary. And the angel said to her, "Mary, don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? Because I'm a virgin." Okay, so Mary is preparing for her wedding to Joseph. She was betrothed to Joseph. She was engaged to him, although they were not married yet. And the Bible says that she was preparing for her marriage when an angel, a messenger from God, invaded her world and said, "Mary, you are pregnant. You have found favor with God." Now, I don't know what your definition of favor with, but until I studied the story of Mary, my definition of favor had always been living in my dream house, getting to go to Hawaii, open doors of destiny and possibility. But the angel said to Mary, "You have found favor with God. You are unmarried and pregnant." I wonder if Mary thought, "You call this favor? Unmarried and pregnant? That's not favor. That's a catastrophe in my book." I wonder if Mary thought, "God, do you have a twisted sense of favor?" Well, we're having some fun talking about it, but the truth is, maybe we are the ones with the twisted sense of favor, right? What we think is horrible may just turn out to be wonderful. What we don't understand with our human mind actually may bring us unspeakable joy. What messes up your plans may just be God's divine handiwork in your life. Verse 37, the angel said to Mary, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Moms, this is a truth that you must embrace as your very own. Nothing is impossible with God. We serve a God who specializes in all things impossible. If you're raising a special needs child, God specializes in all things impossible. If you're praying for a teenager or a young adult to come home, God specializes in the impossible. If you have dealt with years of infertility, God specializes in the impossible. If your child has a learning disability, God specializes in the impossible. This is a truth that all moms, regardless of their age, must learn for themselves. With God, nothing will be impossible. And how did the young Mary respond? "No, not me. You've got the wrong girl. Oh, please don't choose me. I don't want to be unmarried and pregnant." No, that's not how she responded. She didn't whine or complain. She didn't try to wiggle out of God's plan for her life. This is what Mary said in Luke 1:38. And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary said, "I'm your girl. I'll do it. If God says it, I'm in. I am all the way in." You know, a bondslave was someone at this moment in history. It was a slave whom the owner had set free, but the slave chose to stay and serve. That was the heart of Mary. My friend, will you say that to God today? Will you say to God, "I'm a mom, and God, I am your bondslave. I will serve you through every day of my challenging, frustrating, joyful life. God, I will serve you because nothing is impossible to you." You know, so often I have found myself quoting Luke 1:38. When my life was really hard, when God was asking something difficult from me, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." Do you quote that verse when God asks something difficult of you, mom? Or do you whine and complain? "I didn't want blue, I wanted pink. God, you knew I wanted a girl. Twins, that's just too hard. God, what were you thinking? I've got to love a difficult mother-in-law. God, you know I can't do that. Oh, God, I don't want to raise a special needs child. God, I don't want to serve a difficult boss. God, our finances are so tight. I hate this life." No, we serve the God to whom nothing is impossible. And although there might be relationship issues you have to work out, you have to lovingly and kindly talk through, yet still you are the woman, you are the girl who needs to say, like Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." So what have we learned from Mary? That what we think is horrible may turn out to be wonderful. That it's important for us as women and as mothers to be submissive to God's ways and plans, even when they don't match up with our own. That's just so important to do. You know, when I think about being used by God as a woman and as a mother, I realize that as I look at all these women's stories, Eve, Sarah, Hannah, Elizabeth, and Mary, that the only prerequisite was that they were ordinary. We're all ordinary women who want our lives to count during these years of motherhood. Isn't that the truth? Mary's story, none of their stories was a fairy tale, but they were all miracles. And that's what we all want from our lives. We really don't want a fairy tale. What we want is God's intervention, which is a miracle. I love the song of Mary in Luke chapter 1 and how She responded by saying, "For God has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. He has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry." You know, I love those words because those are my words. Those are your words, that God has regarded us in this a state that the world might call lowly, motherhood. The world might say we're not doing anything significant. We're not doing anything important. But oh, that is so far from the truth, isn't it? These words that I read about God regarding the lowly state of his maidservant, those are the words of an ordinary poor girl from a low-class family. Mary was uneducated, but she had the simplicity of her world invaded with hope, invaded with joy, invaded with a miracle. Her baby would be born in a barn. Her baby would have to escape a vicious king. Nazareth was no center of spiritual promise at the time. But let me tell you this, when a simple mother gives herself to God, there is the availability of almightiness in our ordinary lives. God loves to start with ordinary and turn it into extraordinary. Do you believe that today, Mom? So, as we look at these lives of pregnant women in the Bible, this is how I want to close this particular series in our podcast. If, when you think of being pregnant, all you think about are prenatal vitamins and weight gain in Lamaze classes, you have it all wrong. If, when you think of a nursery, all you think of are diapers and rocking horses and rattles, then once again, Mom, you have it all wrong. But if when you think of being expectant, you realize that God was willing to accept temporary housing in a womb in order to communicate his desire to use human beings, women, as his vessels through which he could change the world, then you have it all right. You see, the Father is still looking for human beings, for women, for the young, the untried, the innocent, the dusty, the ordinary. Women with a past, old women, young women, impatient women, mistreated women, through which God the Father can change the world. So let me ask you this, my friend. What seed has God placed in you? Have you heard his voice lately? Are you filled with grand expectation concerning your destiny as a woman and as a mother? Are you anticipating God's willingness to use you? Can you say with Eve and with Sarah and with Hannah and with Elizabeth and with Mary and with me, I'm pregnant? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every woman listening today. I thank you for those infertile women who are listening, those women who are just aching to hold a baby. Lord, would you answer their prayers? Would you give them a baby? Lord, I'm praying for those moms who just feel like they've been a failure in their motherhood years. Lord, would you forgive them and help them start anew and afresh today? Father, we give our lives to you and say, use us in raising the next generation for kingdom purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you'll join me next week for the joy of motherhood. So thank you for joining me today. Thank you for listening to my story. We're going to have a blast as we discover the joy of motherhood together. And as always, just let me remind you, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at carol@justjoyministries.com.